This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
It wasn't a hoax. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino on this Thursday, July 14th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A 27-year-old man has been charged with the rape of a 10-year-old Ohio girl who police say later traveled across state lines for an abortion.
President Biden meeting today with Israeli leaders amid that country's unsettled political climate.
Dozens of people are unaccounted for in Virginia after destructive flooding.
And inflation jumped in June. What's next?
The energy index was up 7.5% compared with just the month before and contributed for almost half of the increase we saw. And the energy index overall is up 41.6% compared to a year ago. That's the largest increase we've seen since 1980.
Rachel Siegel of The Washington Post with the latest in just a few minutes. An Ohio man has been charged with raping a 10-year-old girl who later traveled to neighboring Indiana for an abortion, a case President Biden highlighted in criticizing the Supreme Court's decision eliminating a nationwide right to abortion. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
27-year-old Gerson Fuentes, who was arrested on Tuesday, appeared in Franklin County, Ohio Municipal Court for an arraignment yesterday. A police investigator testified at the hearing that Fuentes confessed to raping the girl at least twice. The victim in the case underwent an abortion in neighboring Indiana on June 30th. A statewide ban on abortions in Ohio after the sixth week of pregnancy, before many women are aware they are pregnant, went into effect hours after the Supreme Court's June 24th ruling that struck down Roe v. Wade. The incident gained attention this month when the Indianapolis Star reported she had to travel to Indiana to secure an abortion because she was 3 days past Ohio's six-week limit, which does not include exceptions for rape or incest. Jen.
Mike, some conservatives had questioned the veracity of the Indianapolis Star story. Officials in southwestern Virginia say dozens of people are unaccounted for and likely over 100 homes were damaged after heavy rains caused devastating flooding in rural Buchanan County. First responders, including swift water rescue teams, headed to the area as water levels rose overnight and early Wednesday morning. On Tuesday, the National Weather Service office in Charleston, West Virginia, had issued a flash flood warning for parts of West Virginia and Virginia. Bill Grimes is with the Virginia Department of Emergency Management.
A lot of roadways are blocked by landslides, bridges. The approaches to those bridges are washed out.
Governor Glenn Youngkin has declared a state of emergency. This resident watched the devastation unfold.
Our back steps left, then our front porch left, and then we were stranded in the house.
No deaths have been reported. Authorities are investigating reports of 44 people unaccounted for. Prices soared by 9.1% in June compared with a year ago, a new peak with inflation remaining at 40-year highs. A deeper dive into the consumer price report with Rachel Siegel, economics reporter at The Washington Post. Rachel, what drove prices in June?
Well, this might not be so much of a surprise to anyone who has gotten in their car over the last month, but the energy index and gasoline prices were an enormous driver of this new peak in inflation. To give you some specifics, the energy index was up 7.5% compared with just the month before and contributed for almost half of the increase we saw. And the energy index overall is up 41.6% compared to a year ago. That's the largest increase we've seen since 1980.
What about food and rent?
Yeah, so food is also no exception, and I'm sure that that's no surprise to people who are shopping for groceries either. The food index was up 1% in June and is up 10.4% for the year. That's the largest 12-month increase that we've seen since February of 1981. The price of chicken has ballooned 19% in the past year. That's the biggest increase ever. And rent is also an enormous part of people's budgets, as we know. There also isn't an expectation that rental prices will go down, even once the pandemic eases up or supply chains heal. costs of rent were up 0.8% in June. And just to put that number in perspective, it's a steady climb over the last couple of months.
Rent is going up and prices are going down a little bit in the housing market overall. What is happening there?
Yeah, so the disconnect is really one that separates homeowners from renters. So as you mentioned, we're starting to see a cooling off in the housing market. We've been waiting to see that for a long time, and it's an encouraging sign. What's happened is that, as the Federal Reserve has said, we're going to raise interest rates by a lot to get inflation under control. That has sent mortgage rates up, and that has caused people to bow out of the housing market. Maybe they were really excited to buy a house when rates were really low, but now they're looking at a couple of $100 tacked onto their mortgage payment every month, and they've decided not to buy after all. The problem, though, is that we don't necessarily see the same ripple effect through the rental market, or at least not quickly. And there are still plenty of landlords who are able to secure higher rents for the year or who are seeing the value of properties around them go up. And so many renters are still seeing their rent tick up, even as overall home prices are starting to cool off.
We're speaking with Rachel Siegel, economics reporter at The Washington Post. As you mentioned, so many of these things are kind of a double-edged sword. But if the housing market cools, it could trickle down and cool off some other related prices, right?
That's certainly the hope. And housing costs make up a huge part of the pie that's used to calculate overall inflation. And so policymakers are really focused on what's happening in the housing market to try and see if that will influence other parts of the economy where we're also hoping to see inflation tick down. The problem, though, is that there are a lot of things that have to do with housing that the Federal Reserve can't control or that aren't quite as influenced by mortgage rates. For example, we need a lot more houses. Estimates range from about 1.5 on the low end to 5 million on the high end, homes that we need to build in this country. And higher interest rates or higher mortgage rates can't help with construction. They can't necessarily help make sure construction crews are staffed to get supplies where they need to go. So these are all some of the unanswered questions around the housing market, too.
Since this inflation report has been compiled, we've seen gas prices come down a little bit. Are people hoping or think this might be the end of this continual rise?
Well, it's certainly the hope. And the message that we've seen from the Biden administration and from people that I've talked to in the White House this morning is that the trend is reversing itself, that gas prices are down about 40 cents from the peak that we saw in mid-June. And the hope is that that will continue and make it so that the overall inflation number is lower when we get the report for July. I think, you know, one sort of asterisk to that is that we just don't really know what will happen. This huge surge in gas and energy prices has been most directly tied to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. You know, we didn't necessarily see that coming when we were forecasting inflation for the year. So as far as what might be to come in the next couple of weeks, it's hard to say for certain.
Thanks, Rachel. Rachel Siegel, economics reporter at The Washington Post. It's 14 minutes past the hour. Coming up, President Biden's agenda in Israel.
Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Sivino. Be sure to follow us on social media, including our newly updated Instagram page. We're at This Morning with Gordon Deal. President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid today will sign a joint pledge to deny Iran nuclear weapons, closing ranks after long-running disputes between the allies over global diplomacy with Tehran. Biden, who is visiting Jerusalem, says he is open to last resort use of force against Iran, an apparent move toward accommodated Lapid's call on world powers to present a credible military threat against Israel's arch foe.
It's overwhelming the interest of Israel and I think the United States in the region for Israel to be more integrated into the region and accepted as an equal.
Biden's meetings today with Lapid come amidst a volatile political climate in Israel. A major government upheaval weeks ago unseated the country's prime minister and triggered an election. Foreign policy analysts have said the instability makes it difficult for Biden to advance any resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. As tensions have grown following a string of violence during the spring, Biden acknowledged Wednesday that a two-state solution is unlikely to happen in the near term. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Here's Dom Sivino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A man in Ohio has been charged with raping a 10-year-old girl who then traveled to Indiana to receive an abortion. That man was arraigned yesterday on one count of felony rape of a minor. Ohio law bans abortions as early as 6 weeks. The girl was forced to cross state lines because she had been pregnant for 6 weeks and 3 days. The court appearance also confirms the existence of the story, which had been disputed by several Ohio politicians. In a tweet Tuesday, Republican Congressman Jim Jordan called the story, quote, another lie.
Number two.
More progress on COVID shots. The FDA has authorized the vaccine from Novavax, clearing the way for it to become the fourth kind of COVID vaccine available to Americans. White House COVID response coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha told ABC we've come a long way.
Think back to where we were 2 years ago. We have all of these capabilities now, vaccines. We have great treatments that prevent serious illness. But the pandemic isn't over. The virus is still out there evolving, and we got to stay on our front footing here and continue to battle this thing.
The Novavax vaccine uses the same technology in the shingles and hepatitis shots, so there's hope it will persuade people unwilling to get the mRNA shots to finally get vaccinated.
Number three.
Search efforts will continue today in southwestern Virginia, where officials say at least 44 people are unaccounted for after torrential storms triggered widespread flooding. At one point late Tuesday, rural Buchanan County was doused with more than 6 inches of rain within hours. One county resident surveyed the damage.
Well, it's just mudslides, trees in the road, water's been in the road, and it's houses in the road, and it's just a mess.
Rescue workers say their efforts have been complicated by those mudslides, which have blocked many roadways. A Virginia judge has denied Amber Heard's request for a new trial in her case against ex-husband Johnny Depp. Last month, both Heard and Depp were found guilty of defaming each other, but Heard was ordered to pay millions more in damages. It's said perseverance pays off. That's exactly the case for a lottery club in Michigan. Its five anonymous members have won a state jackpot totaling close to $2 million. The windfall for the self-named Lunch Bunch Crew comes after 20 years of pooling their money together, with members taking turns buying a ticket each week. The two decades of lottery persistence has scored each Lunch Bunch member a payout of roughly $250,000.
Congratulations to the Lunch Bunch.
That's a nice little payday.
Yeah, not bad. Thanks, Dom.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
If you're looking for a new job that's remote, you better check the fine print. That word from Lindsay Ellis of the Wall Street Journal, who took a look at the positions that are billed in job postings as remote, but come with lots of ties. Lindsay, what did you find?
On sites like LinkedIn, Indeed, even on some companies' job boards, the location for positions is indicated as remote, but if you read the fine print, it might indicate that it's a remote job, but you need to live in a certain commuting distance or region, or it's a remote job with occasional in-person meetings here and there. So job applicants are needing to be a little bit more investigative when they try and figure out if the job they're looking for really is a remote position.
Is the problem because remote work might be defined differently at different places?
That is one problem and one way that this can arise. A company might think a job is remote, but might want you in a certain area, but job applicants might read remote and think, okay, this is a job I can do from anywhere in the whole world. You know, I think the other sort of miscommunication can also just be as companies try and upload their listings to external sites. You know, their definitions might not square with a site like LinkedIn or a site like Indeed, and there could be a miscommunication digitally as well.
And how does that happen? Can you explain that?
Sure. So when a company wants to upload a posting to LinkedIn, you know, it has to indicate whether its job would be remote, hybrid, or on-site, with a small caveat that there is a software that does that automatically for some positions, but that's not all of them on LinkedIn. And so, you know, if it is the type of position that is predominantly remote, but you know, might require someone to come in for some in-person meetings. A hiring manager might tag that one as remote. That's what happened with one company that I looked at. You know, conversely, if an applicant were to filter for remote jobs, they might be really far from that location and still see sort of remote, but it might not be the job for them.
We're speaking with Lindsay Ellis of the Wall Street Journal. Lindsay, are some jobs posting saying it's starting as remote, but eventually you're going to have to be back 5 days in the office?
That sort of reflects some of these evolving plans. I mean, I know a lot of companies are actually using this summer as a time to call people back to the office and start working in person. One job seeker who I talked to said that was actually a key sign that things weren't so nailed down. If he asks, hey, what's your return to office plan? Is this job remote? And they say, we're still working through our plan. That was a flag for him that, you know, more likely than not, he would probably have to be coming into the office, you know, within a couple of months.
Thanks, Lindsay. That's Lindsay Ellis of the Wall Street Journal with some tips on what you should look for if you want a remote job and are searching for that. Make sure to check out a podcast of today's show full of exclusive content you may have missed. It's available right now on This Morning with Gordon Deal app, plus Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's coming up on 30 minutes past the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect? The taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
The news without the nonsense. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
On this Thursday, July 14th, Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Biden and Israel's prime minister set to sign a joint pledge to deny Iran nuclear weapons. U.S. inflation rises 9.1% in June as prices keep climbing. A 27-year-old Ohio man has been charged with raping a 10-year-old girl who later traveled across state lines for an abortion. Two shark attacks reported in one day off Long Island. Netflix joining with Microsoft to launch an ad-supported plan. And consumers are giving inflation the bird with a whole chicken. That story in about 20 minutes. This business update is brought to you by Indeed. Need to find quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The Fed has taken a hammer to the housing market. By raising interest rates, home prices and sales have fallen throughout the year. More from Sylvan Lane at The Hill. Sylvan, what happens to interest rates as the Fed makes policy changes?
So basically, when the Fed raises its own baseline interest rate range, which, you know, basically sets interest rates throughout the economy, mortgage interest rates go higher, too, and that is on purpose. The Fed's main tool for fighting inflation is just generally slowing how much money is being spent and how many people are being hired. And one good way of slowing how much money people are spending is by making people buy fewer houses and having to spend more money to actually borrow to buy them.
So what has happened to housing prices and sales so far this year?
So sales have started to fall pretty significantly because as mortgage rates get higher, so do the monthly payments on houses. And prices already went up by double digits for over the past 2 years. I'm sorry, they went up by double digit rates. So we're talking about more than 10% price growth across the country for a couple of years because of different forces related to the pandemic. So housing prices are already high, and it's becoming more expensive to get a mortgage to get houses now. So you're starting to see prices come down in some parts of the country, such as Phoenix, Tampa, where there had been so many homes bought and sold over the past couple of years.
Prices were, you know, soaring in places like Boise and, as you mentioned, Phoenix. Is this a good thing in a way that it's slowing down and cooling off?
So in the long term, yes. Now, if you're, you know, someone who lives in one of those areas that had been eager to sell your home, you might have to sell it for a lower price now than you did a few months ago, and that's a tough break. But in the long run, prices are already up so much that there's hope that as prices come down, more people who may not have been able to afford to buy homes earlier may be able to do so after a long enough time.
We're speaking with Sylvan Lane at The Hill. Sylvan, as home prices start to decline and home sales decline, what other ways does that trickle through the economy?
So there's a few different ways that this dynamic of slowing home sales and lower home prices kind of slows the economy. Number one, buying a home costs a lot of money, not only for the home itself, but for the movers, for the furniture you buy, for all the new decorative stuff you get. If you got to make renovations, if you want to build something out, that's all money going into the economy. That's all spending. That's all stuff that drives demand for goods and services, which is something the Fed wants to reduce. So if you have fewer homes being sold and people having to spend more of their money to buy a home, you're going to get fewer home sales and you're going to get less money spent on stuff that comes along with buying and selling a home. The other side is something economists call wealth effects. That's just the fancy way of saying when people feel like they have less money, they tend to spend less money. If you're somebody who doesn't have any issues paying off their credit card and you're not taking out any, you know, personal loans that are driving up interest, higher interest rates may not do a lot to affect your spending. But if you own a home and that home is getting less valuable, if you own stocks and they're going in the toilet because of higher Fed interest rates, you're going to feel like you have less money, and you might spend less money because of it.
Do we think that Fed policymakers are somewhat satisfied that the action they've taken has cooled the market to the extent they want it to cool?
You know, I think it's probably a small sign of relief for Fed officials that there are some, there's some evidence that their interest rate hikes are working. The kind of tricky nature about fighting inflation is that you're inevitably going to hurt some people when you do it in kind of a goal to prevent, you know, worse harm from happening. It's basically, you know, you try to get ahead of a cut before it turns into something that, you know, maybe becomes an infection or an amputation. That's kind of the approach you have to take here. So there's some good things happening because of this, but the problem is, and we just saw inflation numbers come out, showed prices going up pretty substantially across the economy. So while the housing market might be cooling down, we haven't seen a lot of other impacts from the Fed's rate hikes just yet.
Talking about the overall housing market, what is the situation now when you are considering buying or renting?
So if you're considering buying a home, you're probably looking at prices that are still a lot higher than they were before the pandemic. And you're probably going to be spending more money on a mortgage if you need one. Now, if you're somebody who doesn't need a mortgage, you could buy a home for all cash, you're in a pretty good spot because home prices are going to be going down and there might be relatively more homes on the market if fewer people are buying them. If you're selling a home, this might be a little bit tough. You know, the price might start to come down a bit. You might see fewer buyers, but, you know, we're still in a pretty good market for sellers overall. It's just a matter of how it kind of evolves from this point forward.
Thanks, Sylvan. Sylvan Lane from The Hill.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know that elite athletes are always watching what they put in their bodies when they train, but sometimes you just want an ice cream. That was the case for golfer Jordan Spieth, who was spotted during a practice round for the Open Championship yesterday, completely demolishing an ice cream cone on the course about 20 seconds after having it handed to him by his caddy. Not sure why he chose that moment to get a sweet treat, but golf fans loved it. Some fans praised Spieth's caddy for being spot on for handing him that cone at the exactly the right time. Others said seeing a world-famous golfer chomping down on an ice cream cone like a four-year-old is the best thing that they've seen this week.
Well, you had to eat it fast. You have to eat ice cream fast when it's 95 degrees out.
I guess so, but it seemed like an odd timing. He's actually in the middle of a practice round. That seems like the kind of thing maybe you do when you were done, or maybe before.
Sugar boost.
Yeah, I guess that's what some people said. Maybe he needed a little sugar boost. Maybe he was crashing or something. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
It makes some sense.
No problem there.
Yes. And we certainly like to have choices when we eat out and the ability to customize our food after we order it. But few of us take into account how that might affect the workers charged with carrying out our weird wishes. One Subway worker has gone viral after sharing a story on Twitter about a sandwich she called a monstrosity that haunts her nightmares. The worker posted that she worked at Subway in her early 20s and made many questionable sandwiches, but the one that stands out involves double provolone and double American cheese and a whole lot of ranch dressing.
Ugh.
How much ranch dressing? Well, the worker claims that the customer wanted the entire bottle and then some, continuing to pour on the ranch until the sandwich was just a sopping mess. The worker says the customer then paid for the monstrosity, sat down, and ate it with her friends, seemingly without incident. More than 150,000 people have liked her viral tweet, and many had comments, including the Starbucks worker that had a customer once ask for 36 pumps of caramel in their drink. Another user said that just for witnessing the customer sit down and eat that disgusting sandwich, the worker should be entitled to some form of compensation.
I'm sure. I'm sure people who have worked in these places have just myriad of stories that are just...
Yeah, she said the worst part is that it didn't seem like it was a joke. It's one thing, you know, maybe teenagers go in and they try and do this for a joke, but, you know, there was no expression on this customer's face whatsoever, you know, just motioning to keep putting more and more ranch on, and then actually sat down and ate it afterwards, you know, didn't laugh and throw it in the garbage or anything like that. So they were totally serious about this.
That is absolutely disgusting.
And
bottle of ranch dressing.
They should have their cholesterol checked shortly thereafter.
Oh, that's just vile. Oof. Gosh. Thanks, I think.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. Well, with gas prices climbing to record highs, a new AAA survey finds more consumers are considering buying an electric vehicle. About one quarter of those surveyed say they want to get an electric vehicle as their next purchase, but many are worried about the rising cost of electric vehicles and not having a charging station nearby. Research from Recurrent, a car industry analysis company, says interest in buying an electric vehicle has soared 70% since January. The national average gas price hit $4.63 on Wednesday, a 14-cent drop from the previous week. Still, that's a $1.30 increase from 6 months ago. But while the cost of gas has increased, prices for electric vehicles have gone up as well. The average price paid for an electric vehicle in May, $64,300, according to Kelley Blue Book, up nearly 15% from a year ago. Rivian, GM, and Tesla have all raised their EV prices, in part because metal prices have soared, along with the cost of components like lithium, which are necessary to make batteries. But automakers are still betting on a strong demand for electric vehicles and are pumping up production. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden is in Israel to kick off his first trip to the Middle East since taking office. Biden began the visit by touting a Trump-era accomplishment, the Abraham Accords, which normalized relations between Israel and several Arab countries. Today, Biden and Israeli leaders are expected to unveil a joint declaration denouncing Iran's nuclear program. Here's Biden's stance.
The only thing worse than the Iran that exists now is Iran with nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm. Before Biden's visit, Israeli leaders made clear that's the top item on their agenda.
Number two.
Parents of children killed in the Uvalde school shooting and survivors of the Highland Park July 4th parade shooting converged on Capitol Hill yesterday. There they rallied for a ban on assault weapons, which were used in both mass shootings. Kimberly Rubio's 10-year-old daughter, Lexi, was killed in Uvalde. She says she's demanding change so another family doesn't have to experience this.
Picture my face, my husband's face, as we read our daughter's death certificate. Our faces contorted in pain, tears flowing freely as we read her cause of death, gunshot wound to the head.
The group also attended meetings yesterday with White House officials and congressional lawmakers.
Number three.
A public funeral was held yesterday in Akron, Ohio, as family and friends mourned the death of Jaylen Walker. The 25-year-old black man was unarmed when he was shot more than 60 times and killed last month by Akron police after a car and foot chase. Inflation has surged to a new pandemic-era high. The yearly rise in consumer prices ticked even higher in June, up to 9.1%. It's the fastest pace of inflation since 1981, the same year Ronald Reagan became president. Much of the increase was driven by a jump in gas prices, which were up nearly 60% over the past year. But the nationwide average for a gallon keeps falling this month, down today to $4.60. It's one of the stranger things you could soon find on Netflix. Commercials. The streaming service has announced a partnership with Microsoft's ad sales unit to help Netflix create a cheaper ad-supported version. The news confirms reports in April that Netflix was open to commercials, something its chief executive has sworn off for years. It comes as Netflix is struggling to retain users. No word on the cost or timing of the new ad-supported subscription.
We knew this was coming, so here it is. Maybe it'll cause some people to keep Netflix and lower the price.
And so save some money with inflation red hot.
Not bad.
Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
With chicken prices soaring 20%, some cooks are fighting back. Instead of buying packaged chicken breasts, thighs, and wings, they're springing for the whole board and taking it apart themselves. The Wall Street Journal notes that roasting whole chickens is nothing new for many cooks, but for others, they're watching online tutorials to understand exactly how to butcher chickens into pieces, since whole chickens cost less than the sum of their parts. As of last week, the price for a whole chicken on average was $1.56 a pound, up from $1.09 a year ago. But boneless chicken skinless breast prices were $4.26 a pound, up from $2.46 a year ago. Rising grocery store bills are also leading savvy consumers to try pickling, canning, and inexpensive recipes such as potato pancakes. A Reddit thread started earlier this year had 980 replies to the question, what are some modern-day depression recipes? Contributors advise how to use every last part of the chicken, with one suggesting simmering the bones to make a broth for a garbage soup that includes scraps such as carrot peels and onion skins. And that'll do it for this hour. For Dom Savino, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.